God is good. And all the time. Amen. Greetings and welcome to you all who are present with us in our sanctuary. Greetings and welcome to all who are joining us via the internet in our worship service this morning. As you can see, I am not Pastor Peter. He's continuing his vacation for another additional couple weeks after today. So you just kind of have to tolerate me for this Sunday. But let's look at any announcements or anything for the good of the order. We've got a microphone coming down to you, Miss Debbie Gunther.
Good morning. Two things. This next week is July's crop fundraiser at Wood Paddle Pizza on Buckley and Quincy. That's all day. And then the other thing, Aurora Interfaith is starting to collect school supplies. I just today put a list on the podium in the narthex. So if you feel like collecting school supplies and bring them in, I will take them in. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other announcements for the good of the order? I do have one bulletin correction. Our closing hymn is not number 441, but is in fact number 2174 in the Faith We Sing hymnal. So just a bulletin correction. Closing hymn is 2174 in the Faith We Sing. And if there's not anything else to be announced, let's stand and rise, give a friendly wave to your neighbor in the passing of the peace.
Good morning. Please join me in the call of worship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We are a scattered and divided people. Let us join as beloved brothers and sisters. Let us join together as children of Christ. We gather like chicks under the wings of our Savior. Let us join our voices together and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So while you're still standing, grab your hymn note or follow on the screen, turn to page 79, and we will sing, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Holy, holy. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Amos in the Hebrew Bible. It's a book that we don't turn to too much. It's a small book, but it's a good book. So hear these words as we read from chapter 7. Verses 7 to 14. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel should be laid waste. And I will raise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to the king Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam should die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, overseer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is the temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered, Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
We come now to our prayer time, sharing of our concerns and celebrations. I would lead you to the back of our bulletin where we have listed several of our prayer concerns. And at this time, is there any other concerns that anyone would like to add? Rich Schneer, please, Mike.
I know that many of you who have been in this church for quite a while have known well, our brother Jack Tracy, who was very active in this church at one time. We got word Thursday that he had passed away on Wednesday. I don't know exactly what from. He passed away quietly and peacefully, I am told. I don't know anything about services at this point.
Jack Tracy and the family of Jack Tracy, keep them in our prayers as Jack has passed. Mike, Stephanie Iverson, please.
Just an update on my brother. So he had surgery on Tuesday on his wrist. He had a plate and pins put in his wrist. So he's doing okay, just in a lot of pain. So just prayers for fast healing for him.
Thank you for sharing. Stephanie's brother recovering from surgery. And any kind of invasive procedure like that is, as we, a lot of us know, is not something we want to go through.
I don't know when I have been as scared for our country as I am right now. The horrific incident yesterday just reminds us all that, you know, we got to remember that God is faithful to his people. And I have to believe that. There's an old gospel song that says, "The tomb is still empty. And God is still on the throne." And in the midst of this kind of tragedy yesterday, we need to pray that for our country.
I echo those thoughts. We are in a time of turmoil, a time of indecision, and it's difficult to watch the news, even if we were to remove the incidents of yesterday. There's still a lot that needs to happen. People need to let the Lord into their lives, I believe, as there is really no place for the kind of violence that took place yesterday, regardless of your political affiliation. There's no part, or there's no place for that. Are there any other concerns? As we move on to celebrations, I see on the birthday list here, we have one birthday today for Susan Schneer. Are there any other celebrations? Rich Schneer has another one.
I was a couple minutes late getting here from the other church, but sort of a celebration, I guess. I want to point out that 4 weeks from today is the annual Faith Day at the Rockies. And again, I'm coordinating that effort. There's a poster out here and a sign-up sheet in the narthex. The game is 4 weeks from today. The deadline to order and pay me for tickets is 2 weeks from today, the 28th of July. So, and I should have the tickets in hand the week beyond that. So any questions, see me after church.
Thank you. That is another area where we could use the shining of God's light as our baseball team. Yes. Any other celebrations? If not, let's join together in reading responsively of the unison prayer. Lord God, hear our prayers. Lord God, Join us in this time of prayer. Precious Lord, when the waves rise high and we lose sight of your face, still my soul, Lord Jesus, calm the storm in me. When the howling wind and the pouring rain drown out the sound of your voice, still my soul, Lord Jesus, calm the storm in me. When the thunder and the lightning distract us from your presence in every circumstance, still my soul, Lord Jesus, calm the storm in me. Let us be in a moment of silent prayer and meditation. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we gather today in prayer, in worship, seizing the opportunity to raise our voice in song, to open our hearts, to open our minds to your word, to your presence, that it may lead our compass, that it may recalibrate our compass, that it may point directly toward you. Heavenly Father, we live in a time where things happen that are unimaginable. Things happen that are uncontrollable. Things happen that are unbelievable. And during the midst of all the confusion, during the midst of all the indecisiveness, we lean toward you. We seek you. And we are thankful you are there. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray not only for us here who have gathered in your holy house, not only for those who join us online during our worship service, but we pray for our brothers and sisters in our communities, in our nations. Is a worldwide connected people. And through prayer, through worship, through song, we attempt, we seek the connection with you. We pray for Pastor Peter, for Pastor Neil, as they lead their respective congregations. We pray for all of our members of our church, for the family of Jack Tracy, as they have lost their family member. Be with us, Heavenly Father, at this moment and during the rest of our worship, that we may adequately glorify you, that we may adequately give the sufficient praise to your name, the name above all names. We join together in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are a giving church. Our offering plate is located in the narthex. If you wish to so place your gift on your way out, but let us listen to He is Lord as Barbara Shaw leads us through that.
We come to our gospel lesson in the Gospel of Jesus according to Mark, which can be found on Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. If you are able, please stand. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrest John, bound him, and put him in prison on the account of Herod's Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was righteous and holy man, and he protected him. But when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came, took his body, and laid it in a tomb. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So, on that happy note, please remain standing for the Vacation Bible School song.
Invite all the kids down to the front. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Peter for the opportunity to be here this morning with you all to spread the word, to sow the seed. And this morning we will look into our Old Testament reading, which Mark read for us earlier, the book of Amos. Chapter 7, verses 7 through 17. And as Mark shared with us, there is a portion of that scripture text that involves one of these, a plumb line. And I'm sure we all are familiar with the purpose of that. In construction, it's used to determine true verticality. What is straight, up and down. You fix the top end of the string to something, whatever you're trying to plumb up to, and you let gravity pull the weight at the bottom. And that string is perfectly straight up and down. But we'll get into that a little more. Let us pray. Ogumai ai fisi, ogumai ikau, moe mohuku. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord God Almighty stands forever. Amen. When I pick up the Bible and flip through the pages in search of a particular book or a scripture lesson, there are these particular books that I can pretty much open the book and get right to it. Like, for instance, the Gospel according to John. Or someone else might be able to open the Bible and get directly to the book of Proverbs. But to be honest with you, when I was looking for the book of Amos, it took me a little while to find it. I flipped between Genesis and Malachi at least four times and still couldn't find the book of Amos. As Mark mentioned, it's a small book. It's 9 chapters. And I finally had to resort to the table of contents to tell me what page the book of Amos was on. But who was Amos? Who was Amos? It is not specifically clear exactly when Amos was born or when Amos died. However, we do know that he ministered to God's people during the 8th century BC, which is 700 BC to 800 BC. He was right in that era. And it is also widely believed that his ministry was a fairly short ministry, spanning 1 to 2 years. Amos was born in a village named Tekoa, which is approximately 5 miles south of Bethlehem, in what then was known as the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was also referred to as Zion. In turn, the northern kingdom, which we will touch on a little bit later, was also known as Ephraim, was also known as Jacob, and was also called Isaac. And the capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. But as a young man, Amos became a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore fig trees. And when I saw that, I asked, what is a dresser of sycamore fig trees? Well, that entails someone who pinches off little branches that the fruit grow on, which enhances their ripening time, speeds up their ripening. And this same person is also involved in protecting the fruit from insects. But that cured my curiosity. So Amos was also, he has been described using such phrases as the prophet of doom, the social reformer. But perhaps no other word has been more frequently used to describe the message of the humble herdsman as the word ethical. Amos will also be remembered as the first of the great quartet of ethical prophets of the 8th century BC. Which included Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah. They all ministered during the same century, but Amos was first before all of those four. And in order to understand what motivated such an ordinary man, such as Amos, to proclaim such an extraordinary message, we have to understand the times during which Amos lived. Amos appeared on the scene in Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II. And this was a time of relative peace, a time of relative prosperity in both Israel and in Judah. Some people experienced great wealth, but others experienced crushing poverty. The poor were oppressed, the poor were cheated, they were exploited, and their rights were ignored. Immorality of all kinds was openly and unashamedly practiced. There was drunkenness, there was adultery, licentiousness, and self-indulgence had rotted the moral fiber of the nation. Amos, especially, of all the Old Testament prophets, was associated with social justice. In no uncertain terms, Amos lashed out at the callous treatment that the poor received from the rich. Sounds like a rough, tough time to live in. Almost sounds like a time you and I might live in. Amos had his work cut out for him. And what was Amos thinking when God told him, "Leave Judah, leave the comfort of your home, leave everything you know, and go north and tell the people up there what I have told you to tell them"? In chapter 7 of the book of Amos, Amos opens up in verse 1 with a vision that Amos has, in which Amos sees swarms of locusts devouring the land of Israel. And it continues in chapter 7 to verse 4 with Amos seeing a vision that is, remember, given to him by God. Amos sees a shower of fire consuming whatever is left that the locusts have left behind. And let me continue by rereading what Mark has already read from chapter 7, verses 7 through verse 9. And this is how it reads. "This is what God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line and with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'See, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will never again pass them by.'" In other words, I'm not going to let them off the hook anymore. "I will never pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." You see, family, it could not be made any clearer. God was not pleased with what was happening in Israel. So once again, I pose the question, what must have been going through Amos's thoughts? Sent by God to Bethel, where King Jeroboam II had this big, huge, lavish sanctuary, a worship temple, and Amos was to tell the high priest Amaziah, King Jeroboam, of God's displeasure for what was taking place in Israel. Not failing to mention the looming repercussions Israel would face as punishment for God's displeasure. How would you feel if God had tasked you with such a daunting assignment? If God told me to do that, I don't know if I could be able to go through with it. Without a doubt, Amos must have been overwhelmed. I mean, do you think Amos was delivering a message that people wanted to hear? Do you think that the message sent by God by way of Amos would have been received with a warm embrace? How would that message, if Amos were here today, be received? But despite my perception of what must have been for Amos apprehension, uneasiness, anxiety, Amos remained faithful to the calling of God. What about the calling God has for you and for me? It may not be the same calling that Amos had, but it might closely align with the simplified blueprint that Amos and other prophets were connected with, that they were intertwined in. And the commonality in that call given to Amos and to you and to me is to make God's truth known to the world. You and I, we may not have visions given to us by God. God may not speak directly to us. But God's truth is revealed to you and I through this book. Is anybody feeling overwhelmed yet? A little anxious, maybe? If so, you can rest easy, knowing that just as God filled Amos with the Spirit to complete what God had called Amos to do, so too will God fill us. He will fill you and I with the Spirit. So that when we exit those doors and we make God's truth known to those we encounter in our neighborhoods, in our stores, in our social gatherings, in our schools, in our places of employment, we will take that same Spirit with us. Are you plumb with God? Okay, so let's assume you are, in fact, somewhat plumb with God. And let's also assume you have been filled with the Spirit. And you're ready, spiritually, mentally, physically, to share God's truth, to spread God's word. There will be resistance. There will be resistance. That is a simple fact of the matter. And as we must be thankful for receiving the law of God, so too must we be thankful for receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is here where the gospel of Jesus Christ leads us to my concluding point. I touched on being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit to fulfill our calling. We visited the fact that there will be resistance that we will face with this calling. I would finally add that we must speak the truth of God, and we must act the truth of God in love. It has to be both. We have to speak the truth of God. We have to act the truth of God in love. You see, Jesus did not come to this world to die on a cross because he didn't like us, or because he didn't care for us, or because he just wanted to hurry up and get away from us. But Jesus did come to this world to die on a cross because God so loved the world. And this is how Jesus spoke the truth of God. And this is how Jesus acted the truth of God. And because we were so loved by God, we too must so love others. Emilio Castro was a Methodist minister from the country Uruguay in South America. And from his book titled Conversion and Social Transformation, published in 1966, I would like to share a quote from that book with you. And it reads, "No relationship with Jesus Christ exists that is not a relationship with our neighbor. The lack of a correct relationship with one's neighbor is authentic proof of the absence of a correct relationship with God." Are you plumb with God? Family. Here's the plumb line. This is the plumb line. And to fulfill our calling, we must open our hearts to receive the Spirit. We have to be resilient, for we will face resistance. And we are required, it's a must, to be mindful of God's love for us as we speak God's truth in love and as we act God's truth in love. So let it be, dear God. So let it be. Amen. I would invite you all to stand and invite Mark to come forward and leading us in our closing hymn, number 2174 in the Faith We Sing. 2174 and the Faith We Sing.
Right or wrong, Barbara and I figure we're just going to sing to straight through as one, two, and three. So now that you have the road map, sing loudly, please. Let's do that one more time. I think we all got it this time. I think I got it this time.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk only with your God. To see justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
What does the Lord require of you? Let's go out into the world, serve our community, serve our people, and serve our Lord. In the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, send us out in peace. Amen. Let's join hands in our closing song.
Amen.